This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2024, held at Ephrata Business Center in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, on March 1 and
2, 2024. I want us to think about our school board structures. What is it about our school board structures that maybe should have a second look at how we set it up and how we do school board in how we elect them, how we retire them? And I'm going to use a bit of a story on that. But from your program, here's the introduction, says, how many grandfathers or gray hair are present in your school board meetings? You read that in the introduction and you have a bit of an idea about that. I see some gray hair here among us today. That's good. But I also would like to commend the young men. You need to step up to the plate and you need to own the schools. And I put that word own in quotes. Rather than just ride on the shoulders of the generation that has gone ahead of you. And then I thought of this question, and I'm going to just read it, and we'll discuss it later. How many of you, before I read, how many of you are businessmen? Okay, so I'm going to make a comparison to school boards and business leaders. How successful would our churches and businesses be if the CEOs and church leaders had 3 or 6 year term limits? Where would your business go if that was the model that you're operating under? Would your business be a success if every 3 years you get new management and you keep doing that again and again and again? And so I'd like for you to be open to discussing maybe your board structure and how can we involve the older generation. That's the burden of this topic. Now I'm going to tell a story, and it has some meaning when we think of the older generation. Technology. Getting behind myself here. I'd like to introduce to you a man by the name of Dan Glick. And here I'm getting very historical. And I'm not even going to ask for a raise of hands how many of you knew Brother Dan. But I'd like to tell a story about Brother Dan. He has a very interesting story. Brother Dan was born, he had a very easy birth date to remember. He was born in 1900. Not 2000, 1900. So we're going back a ways, June 15th, 1900. And at the age of 35, he attended a meeting to discuss the opening of a private Christian school. Now, this was entirely unheard of at that time. So they were breaking new ground. They were doing things that in Lancaster County had not been done before. Remember, he being born in 1900 at the age of 35, this is 1935. And maybe that date will be significant later. Now, how many of you have helped to start a brand new school? Anybody here? Okay. Now, more of us have stepped into the shoes of those who have gone before us. And that's good. But it has a different set of dynamics. And so here we have Dan Glick at the age of 35, and I'm assuming that some of the others in that meeting were young men as well. And so even though we're discussing the value of the older generation, I'm not devaluing the young generation. We need both. We need to be working together, young and old alike. Now, putting Dan Glick into perspective, some of you may remember Glick's Plant Farm on 340, not too far from here, just to put that into perspective. So in 1938, nine men attended a public auction of a Little Red Schoolhouse, and it was being sold by the Lampeter School District in Lancaster County, 22 miles from here, and it was sold for $1,900. So Dan and others, and the other thing here is from the history, is this was a private initiative. This was not a church. They were not appointed to go to that auction and buy that building. So they were taking an initiative where there was no direction from the church body. And so they went and they bought that building for $1,900. And they developed the Locust Grove Mennonite School, and I won't go into a lot of detail there. But in 1939, they enrolled 32 students that first year with one teacher. Now, school boards, I do not want you to take that home with you. Wouldn't that solve all your staffing problems?
No.
One teacher for 32 students, you get that. Dan Glick was on that first school board. And in my research, I maybe didn't dig deeply enough, maybe someone knows, how many years he actually served on that school board. I will bring a few other interesting tidbits from his life. And he served on that as the secretary of the board for many, many years. And we will discuss that. So in 1939, they started that school. Now, let me just go back a bit to Ken's topic yesterday, just to put that in a larger framework. You know, there was opposition to Christian schools, but it was not statewide, neither was it countywide. It was oftentimes by school district. Maybe there was a school superintendent that just had a gripe against Christian education. We heard some of those stories yesterday. So I don't want us to get the idea that all the schools had that kind of opposition. Here's one in particular. The Locust Grove Mennonite School, as I understand, was probably the first Mennonite school in Lancaster County. Delaware had one earlier, down, I believe, in what is now Central Mennonite, that larger area there, had one, I think, in about 1932. So this was a few years later. So, Brother Dan was born in 1900, and in 1996, he was still living. And in 1996, they had a celebration at Locust Grove, which I'll just go into briefly here. He was no longer on the school board, but Dan kept a very vital contact with that school until the age of 96, maybe even 98. You know, think about it. How involved are we in that? In 1996, and this is all documented in the archives of the Lancaster Papers, in 1996, and that's where this picture is from, they held a reception for Brother Dan, and celebrating his 96th birthday. And also at that point, he opened a foundation for future students for tuition help for those who needed that extra help. And so at 96, he was still involved in the school. And I remember living here in Lancaster County and reading this in the Lancaster paper. He became known as the Pretzel Man. He had a reputation because every year he would take soft pretzels to the school for every child and every teacher. And he took two pretzels, but by 1992 there were 390 students, so he cut it back to one pretzel. And he quoted at this occasion, he said, "I think they forgave me." So he lived to be 98 years old, and he outlived three wives. Just a bit of a tidbit there. Now, the wisdom of old age. Let me hold that a little bit. I'd like for us to think a little bit of, I'd like to get an idea who you are and where we're going with this. The average number of school board members on your school board, I'd like to get a little bit of a feel of my audience. How many of you would have like three on your school board? Any with three? Four? Five or more? Okay. Now, what are the requirements of serving on your school board? And that could be a topic in itself that I'm not prepared to go into further. But I have this one question, because in a number of schools, this is a requirement. How many of you require your school board to have children in school? Don't be embarrassed if that's your somewhat. Maybe they finish out their term or something like that. And I understand that. You know, who better knows the ins and outs of the school than those who have children in school? And who is better invested in the life of the school than if you have children there? But as we think of the older generation, I wonder if we're not putting some out to pasture too soon. And that is up for discussion, and we'll come back to that later. Now, one more survey. How many of you are in your first year on the board? Okay, welcome. Second year. Third. Five or more. Good. 10 or more. Yes. How high can I go? 15. Yes. Thank you, Steve. 20. We'll have an option here. 30. Okay. You get the feeling here, we're all across the board. Now, I'm sure Steve just did it one year at a time, right? You didn't do all of them. So to you first, second year board members, hang in there. You're getting experience one year at a time, and we'll take that for what it's worth. Let's go on now. I thought I would just take a little bit of time. I'm not going to give any commentary on these verses, but I went into Scripture and I found, and I just took the cream of the crop. There are so many verses that speak about the wisdom of old age. And I'm not tooting my own horn here. I'm reading Scripture. So let's see what it says here. In Proverbs 20, verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength. The beauty of old men is the gray head. It's not just talking about the gray head. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. I said, days should speak, and the multitude of years should teach wisdom. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. This is probably one of the greatest strengths and resources that we have available from the older generation. And that is simply to hear their counsel. In our round table last night, we talked about how having the ministry at least represented at the school board meetings gave continuity. You know, we faced this 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and now it's still here. And so by reaching back to someone with the age and experience, we were able then to find some wisdom in that. So hear counsel and receive instruction. Psalm 71, 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. I won't comment on this one further. We know, I will read it though, the story of Caleb. Caleb in Joshua 14 says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Caleb here, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and how, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. Now, here's his testimony. Here's what he had to say. And yet, as yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, and even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. That is not my testimony. I was 42 years old when I started teaching school, and I'm not as strong as I was then. About 4 years ago, I went back into the classroom and taught school for 2 years, and it was very different at 70 compared to 40. Here Caleb is at 85, as strong this day as I was in that day. But the conclusion in verse 12, now therefore, he said, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. I will speak for myself first. It's very easy for my generation to come to the point where we say, I've done it. It's time for you. And I think you understand that. That's a fact of life. But Caleb said, I'm just as strong now as I was at 40. And he was still looking for a challenge. So what is a challenge that we can put before the older generation concerning our schools? What do they have to offer? What can we, how can we benefit from the wisdom that they have, to the wisdom that they bring to the table? That's something for us to consider here this morning. And the verse I'd like to look at next is in Leviticus 19:32. It says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, and hear, fear thy God, I am the Lord. Now the question I have is, in our culture, are we losing the value and the respect for the elderly? In many ways. But maybe in this. I'll give an example. My wife and I spent a few weeks in Thailand with our married daughter, son-in-law, and grandchildren over Christmas and New Year. And if you've traveled internationally, you know what it's like. You come off of this big plane and you come into the customs area, and they have long lines. And we were near the back of the plane, and so all these people were ahead of us. Our children and grandchildren were waiting for us in the lobby, and there we were. But you know, it was less than 30 seconds when a gentleman came back to us, opened up, and took us the whole way to the front of the line. And I see that, especially in Asia in my travels, again and again, just a respect for the elderly. And I think we're losing it. That one's free. That's a little bit off topic, and yet it is topic. Deuteronomy 32:7, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. And here's what I like to emphasize, ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. Where I'm going with that is, maybe you don't want the 70, 80 year olds to be a part of your school board, but keep them as a resource. Ask thy father. Ask the generation ahead of you for counsel and for advice. They have something to share with you. The next one I'd like to look at is from Job. If you know the account here, we have this younger man who sat patiently while the other three hammered it out with Job. They just slogged away, just conversation after conversation. And finally he said, it's my turn. And this is what he said. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore I said, hearken to me, and I also will show mine opinion. Now I mentioned that verse because, again, I want this balance. You younger men are bringing a lot to the table. Don't ever forget that. And my generation does not have all the answers. In fact, we're not sure sometimes what the questions are. And so we need to be working together, young and old alike. We can learn from each other. There's so much at stake. We've been hearing repeatedly that teachers and school boards, I heard it again this morning, have that impact on the students. How many hours do your ministers impact the children in your church compared to the teachers? And so school boards have a very awesome responsibility, and we don't want to underplay that. And I go to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And then for all of us in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Okay, this was not to be a lecture, so let's go to the discussion. Term limits. I'd like to hear a little bit, maybe another survey. What are your term limits? Steve, maybe I'll pick on you. You had quite a few years. Do you have any term limits, or did you go so far and then come back again? Just open up a little bit.
We have a six-year term, and probably originally it was that the treasurer could serve two of those and the other board members only one, but in the last few years now we've changed that to any school board member can be on for 2 6-year terms.
2 6-year terms, so that's 12. And then how did you get beyond 12?
Off 10 years and put back on.
Okay.
Two different schools.
Okay, sure. Various ones. How do you do it after you reach the term limit? Do you have, when can a board member get back on?
We have 1 year off.
1 year off, okay. I think that's common. How many have 1 year off? Okay. Something else. Another option. If it's not 1 year off, do you have something else written in policy? Yes.
We have 3-year terms, but there's no limit as far as how many can stay.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Someone else.
We can serve three-year terms and then 1 year off.
Okay. So up to 9, then a year off, then another 9, a year off, another 9. Okay. Do you have any question as to what works and what doesn't? Any questions? This is your time. This is discussion.
How do you convince? So our school, where we come with a slate, and then the church votes someone in. So how do you convince someone who doesn't have children in school that they should be on the school board?
Okay. You heard the question. How do you convince someone who no longer has children in school that they still have some value in serving on the board? Okay. What have you faced? What do you do in a case like that?
Whose work is the school? If it's a church-supported school,
It's the church's word. It's not the parents' word. And if you're a brother in church and you're asked to serve, you ought to serve.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you, Lindford. I hope someone's hearing him and keeps him in the harness for a long time. Someone else?
I do have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Have any of your school boards ever considered the detrimental effect that 1 year off causes?
Interesting. Maybe I'll enlarge that question. What is the purpose of the 1 year off?
What is the purpose of the term limits?
Okay. Okay.
The Hope Christian School has no term limits.
Okay.
So if my understanding would be correct, in our 1 year off purpose, so the current school board helps make the slate for the new incoming voted, and the idea would be that if the reason he should be not reelected, that he wouldn't have as much involvement in the slate.
Okay.
So my understanding of it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What was that reason?
Is that reason? If the current board would have influence in the slate for the new board member, and the idea would be if it would be time for a change, that he wouldn't have influence on his own.
Okay.
Yeah.
But wouldn't he still, as he coming to his limit, would he not have been?
He would have, so I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly that. That's just my understanding of the 1 year off. So.
Right, okay.
I don't know that it's happened a lot that there's been much re-election after the 1 year off, because we would serve 9 year term. But okay. If you would serve all three terms, you would serve 9 years.
Right.
And it would always be a patron. So arguably there's not a whole lot of room left.
Okay.
We have 4 year terms, no term limits.
Okay.
And I've wondered if in our community it's easy to get typecast as this guy's care about education, and maybe there's more people around that mm-hmm. actually mm-hmm. can contribute that mm-hmm. we miss because, well, you know, he's a school mm-hmm. kind of guy. I don't know.
I think that's primary. If we don't have something like that in place, how else do you get a younger man involved?
Right.
And I've served in various capacities, and just for an example, I was on the Calvary Publications Board, and invariably, if there's an incumbent, he gets reelected in that setting.
Yeah.
And finally, I said, enough's enough. I'm not going to be eligible. We need to get some younger blood on this board, and, you know, that has happened. But if us older ones, and I'm speaking out two sides of my mouth, what I'm saying now, if us older ones don't step aside, the younger ones don't have room. And so, and yet I'm saying, let's keep the old, so, you know, you see it coming out of both sides here. We're walking a tightrope. Someone else? Yes?
Is there any role of advisory committees for older gentlemen or previous board members to serve on? Has anybody tried that?
Okay.
I've heard of one school recently that does that, but yeah.
School board emeritus, huh? Anyone do that? I hear it a lot, and we talked about it in our roundtable last night, of the minister or a ministerial representative being that advisor. Let's jump into Jonas's short, was it his 10-minute, about subcommittees. I think here's maybe an underused resource, and that is on subcommittees. Maybe we should have some of the prior experienced board members serve on a subcommittee. It might be finance, it might be building, any of the ones that where in their line of expertise, they still have lots to offer to the school. Now, what I jotted down here in my notes is this. I want you to think about it. Question first, how many of you are ministers? Okay. Now, when we're ordained, and more so in the past, it was pretty much for life. Now I think it's more, you know, until you're 70 or 65 or something like that. But it can be a long time. Now, why don't our ministers serve three-year terms or four-year terms or have term limits? I just want you to put that in perspective, because we're looking at the importance of the school and we're looking at school leadership. So how does this all work? Let's look at maybe some of the, what are the advantages of longer terms? I think we're hearing some of it. Let's see if we can bring that together. What's the advantage of school board members serving 10, 15 years?
Continuity,
okay.
Not having to figure the same problems out with voting over again.
Okay, good. More.
Maintaining vision,
okay. Others?
Ownership. And they're long enough to, they don't need to deal with what's needs to be dealt with.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You hear the testimony of 2 and 3 year, by the third 2 year, now I finally feel like I know how the school operates.
Yes.
You hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Now, I hope this is a dying trend, but in my travels to schools, enough said. But there are schools that still have three on the school board, and first year, second year, the third year, they're automatically school board chairman, and then they're done. And so you have a new school board chairman every year by that rotation. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands for that. I don't want to embarrass anyone. But if you have that type of a structure, I highly recommend you think about a change. How would it be in our churches or your business again if, let's say in the church, the first year you're the deacon, next year you're the minister, third year you're the bishop, and then you're done. We don't do that. And you're not doing it in your businesses either. So let's not do it in our schools. Let's see if we can keep that together. What are the weaknesses of long-term? Yes.
One of the things we're not discussing here is involved with the school board is just a lot of work. You know, cleaning up after the Christmas program, setting up for the fundraiser, cleaning the venue out, being in charge of the maintenance, organizing the school cleaning. There's just a lot of physical work. Now, maybe the problem is delegating or not delegating. But back to what's the purpose of the term limit, maybe sometimes the school board chairman's wife needs a sabbatical. And that's a real thing. We're burning people out with the work, and that's keeping us from continuing the continuity of leadership and vision because of the work involved.
Subcommittee to the rescue.
Yes. Exactly.
Very valid point.
A lot of the things that you mentioned, may I be so bold to say that the board should not be doing those?
Right.
And I think Jonas laid a good foundation for that. Go back to that handout. It's in the booklet. See if there's something that you can organize. The board shouldn't be doing that. Anyone else?
As we get older, we get stuck in our ways. And so we're there for 15, 20 years. Well, this is the way we always did it.
So you're giving that as a weakness
yeah,
for...
Asking.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I do have a question back on the 1 year, the detriments of the 1 year off. If, is it more than just detrimental for the loss of continuity? I guess I feel one of the benefits of the 1 year off is to allow the younger or new men to come on. But is there more detriments to the 1 year off other than the loss of the continuity? Or?
I don't know if there's anything more than that. I just know that I've had multiple board members tell me in my 15 years at Hope Christian School that they'd rather not have the 1 year off, because what happens is you lose that stream of consciousness, if you will. You other than being a patron, you really have no connection to the school. Then you come back on, well, you know about the school, but where are we now? It's like you read the first six chapters of a book and then skip the next three and then pick up, and something's missing during the story.
Is it common, though, that someone only has 1 year off?
Mm-hmm. Very common.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. How long are your term limits? I mean,
your terms are 5 years.
Okay.
And actually, I might just say this. One of the things that they've just done at Hope Christian School is they have, as a brotherhood, decided on the makeup of the board. It is going to be at least one father that has child in the younger grades, at least one father that has children in high school, and the rest can be from wherever.
Okay.
Because what can happen is you can get brothers who have served on the board a long time and all they have is high school students anymore, and you tend to run the school based on where your children are in the school. Mm-hmm. You need that broad spectrum. I commend them for it.
Good. I think we're learning from each other. Now, I don't think it's possible or even recommended that you all go back now and try and overhaul the whole thing. Don't do that. Many years ago, when I first started attending teachers' meetings, I'd come back with all kinds of fresh ideas. Remember, my students would react like this. Mr. Glick's been at another workshop. He'll get over it. So what I'd like for you to do is try to, from this weekend, try to think of one area that you can go back and work on. Don't try and do it all. Pick one area, pick your battle, pick one area and see what you can build on that. This is good. Others, yeah.
One thing I'm curious about is how the slate of nominees is come up with to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Is it by the ministry? Is it a straw ballot from the congregation? Because that would affect if older people actually come on the slate.
Mm-hmm. Good. Let's talk about that. How are your school board members chosen? We had some of that in the round table last night, but many of you weren't in that one. So let's open that.
School board nominates.
School board nominates?
The ministry approves and asks if they're willing to be put on the ballot.
Okay.
We have the school board puts on one nominee, the ministers do one, and then it's open for the church.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We have the school board puts out a slate, and then it's a vote in the church.
Sure. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of gifts in the church. And being a school board member might not be everyone's gift. And so I think it's very important that we choose carefully. Someone mentioned last night, and pardon me for keeping referring to that, he said the school board voting just got to be kind of light, you know. Someone would pop up a name and, you know. Let's put some serious thought and prayer into this, because of the weight of this responsibility. Someone else. Did you have a
My dad was school board when we were in school for a long time. Then he was off for I don't know how many years. Didn't have any children in school, and then was put back on the school board. And the second year, we put as chairman at like 65 years old. And I don't think that is ideal. I think there's great value in having older men on the board for wisdom, but being in charge, it took a lot out of my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Being thrown back into the old room.
There's wisdom in that. I find in administration, and 65 may be a critical point, it was for me. In other words, it's a little harder to be decisive, you know, to be up against a question and to be the one to be thrown to the wolves or whatever at that point. So there's a lot of value and resource, but let's not put them at the helm would be your suggestion. Comments?
One thought that I kept having, I guess, and maybe somewhat of a, not a lot of thought put into it, but in reference to, you know, his comment on a varying age structure there, could you have one board member that would be over, you know, a grandparent or over the age of, you know, certain, and you would always seek out one, you know, to keep a balance there as well. And I would probably agree with the comment of potentially not having him as the, not because he's not able, but to bring balance, I guess.
And I'm going to give this next comment from my perspective because it's not true, but it seems that men and their wives are becoming grandparents much younger than they used to. What I thought Linford was going to say, and maybe I'll open that, is do you have any criteria, and maybe when the slates are being drawn is when this would happen, for a businessman? Or, you know, does occupation have anything to do with the choice? And probably we think of that when we think of the treasurer. We want someone who can handle finances, but how about the secretary? Does the brother, is he gifted, or is his wife going to need to type up the minutes or things like that?
May I make a comment about that?
Yes.
I thought about earlier when you said, when you talked about the wife's being burned out.
Okay.
So it happened at one of our meetings years ago that a new brother was given the responsibility to be secretary. And he turned to the previous secretary and said, well, exactly what is going to be my responsibility and how this will work out or whatever. And the first brother said, my wife will get it through life. And understand that our wives are to be our helpmates.
Exactly.
But as men, we should take our responsibility. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have a question.
Go ahead.
Do you let a treasurer be on longer than, like, what's the treasurer? How do you do that? Like, are they just part of the board? Or?
Okay. I've heard a few different ones. Let's go down that trail a little bit. Someone said something about the treasurer being on longer. How do you handle the treasurer?
Our treasurer is voted on as that. The rest of the board is voted on whenever. When the treasurer comes up, that's who we're voting on.
Okay.
Not for a board member, but it's for a treasurer.
Okay, so to unpack that, the treasurer is voted to be a treasurer. The others are voted to be a member at large, but then in a reorganization, decide who is chairman, vice chairman, secretary. I think that's common, is it not? Well, do you have a question further on that?
Well, we just had, my husband was a treasurer, and then another treasurer got in, and then my husband got back in, and we had a mess with the books. And I will never do that again. And I was doing it because I enjoy the numbers. I'm the school secretary, and so I, you know, it's not because he, yeah. But I'm like, we will never, and he's like, we will never do this again. It was a mess. He was not meant to be
the prior
treasurer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had everything down, and then, whew.
We had a similar experience in our school as well. Steve's done a fantastic job of keeping it all straight, but we had one before that ended up in pretty near disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I spent hours at the bank figuring things out.
Oh my!
That doesn't look good at the bank. Yeah. Keep in mind, when we're handling church funds, it's serious. And I wonder what the bankers were thinking. You know, it's a testimony issue. Okay? Lee.
We have a former member, board member that serves as treasurer indefinitely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is one for sure where continuity is very necessary.
But back to the tasks and functions of the school board, one of the things that we've really tried to do is we feel that the primary function of the board is to establish policies, not to manage day-to-day operations
right.
of the school. So we have a policy manual that's divided into three sections. It's board policies, staff policies, and student policies. And each year we take one of those sections, and at every board meeting, every monthly board meeting, we spend a half hour going through several policies, make sure they're relevant. Is this still what we're doing? Do we need to make any changes? So we feel like if we have good policies in place, then the administration, the staff at the school, can function from that. So it's not so much have we always been doing it this way, and it's good to have somebody on for a long time because they remember the bad problems that happened 10 years ago. If you have policies in place, then I think that works well as new board members come on, and you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Right. Policy and vision, and not the day-to-day work. It goes hand in hand.
That's where good record keeping is essential, too.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you do have older ones going off the scene where you can no longer talk to them. If there's a record of what they went through and what was decided and how it turned out, that's at least a good second best.
Mm-hmm. I hope we were listening to what we just heard here. And again, I don't want to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. If you have or do not have policy manuals, handbooks in place, if not, by all means, make that a priority. Second, and I think I learned something here, is just because you have a policy, make sure that it gets reviewed and gets updated, current in what you're facing. Are there strengths of shorter terms? We're running out of time, but we do have a break. If any of you want to linger and talk some more, we can do that. Shorter terms, are there strengths in shorter terms? Or are we pretty much have a consensus that longer terms are better?
Kind of a twofold question, but sometimes, or first of all, how do you get a church to vote for the right guy? especially if you have youth that maybe don't care so much about what happens at school, or older people that are not very involved, really don't know what's happening at school. And now you throw out a slate made of the men that are eligible, but if you don't, in a smaller school or a smaller church like we have, sometimes it kind of boils down to there's one preferred guy, but because of the system of the church voting it in, how does all that work? And does that play into whether it should be a longer or shorter term?
Mm-hmm. Anyone want to address that?
I think we had a bit of an issue with that, and our solution was for the school board to put out the slate. If they feel like there's two or three well-qualified men, and the church votes on that. And here recently we felt there was one clear choice, and so we simply went to the board meeting and said, hey, we would prefer to have this man on. So it's not like the school board is doing it just totally on their own. They still have church approval. They at least made their preference clearly known, and it seemed to work pretty well.
I mean, we would talk to the ones that are going to be on the slate and possibly paint a worse picture than it actually is. I mean, are you willing to be there once a month? This is when you do, and lay it out of everything that you're going to do. And usually if they'd be willing to do that, it's probably okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see it, I don't know,
rest of the church is, you know, oh, he's not doing anything, let's have him do it. And that doesn't work.
I don't know if any of you were at the one of the first CASBs out in Ohio, Brother Paul A. Miller, in a devotional, asked a question about members merely serving a term, and this was his quote. He said, "We have institutions in Ohio where men serve time." Now back to Nate's question here. In a small congregation, I realize that that is an issue. First of all, we should not put anyone on a slate that we don't feel qualifies. And then there shouldn't be that question of disappointment that this brother got it when this one was actually better. But I like Keith's idea there too, something to consider in a small congregation. And I've done that on other boards, is if you really don't have a slate, just go to the whatever the governing body is and say, would you support our choice for this office? That may be something you want to look at. Okay.
But what if the slate is chosen by the congregation of business meeting?
That's a weakness. But yeah, we're all across the board here. You know, we've inherited traditions and so on, whether good or bad. Hey, you've been a good group. I don't think we've answered all the questions, but I'm going to dismiss you. You can keep talking, discussing, but we have further things to do, and we have miles to go before we sleep. Thank you. God bless you.